Welcome. Thank you for joining us for your regular installment of Tech Law 10. This is Eric Sinrod in San Francisco for Dwayne Morris. It's a foggy day here. And, of course, I'm joined by my colleague across the pond, Jonathan Armstrong. And, Jonathan, I know that you've been thinking about a politician's wife who has gotten in some trouble in the UK with respect to a recent tweet. Can you enlighten us?
I can, yeah. Sally Berkow, without being harsh, isn't somebody that I think about of an evening. She's, some would say, an ardent self-publicist, but in any event, she is married to the Speaker of the House of Commons. And the role of the Speaker of the House of Commons, I think, is slightly dissimilar from the US. He is elected from amongst the members of Parliament, but he's meant to, if you like, leave his party affiliations behind, and then by convention is, if you like, the neutral chair of the debates in the House of Commons. So it's quite an important role, and it's the Speaker effectively back through, you know, the times of the of Charles I and so on, has had a specific role within the parliamentary democracy. And this is, I think, one of the reasons why it's something of a big deal. The Speaker's wife, Sally Berkow, has her own political ambitions, it's fair to say. And she also has a large number of followers on Twitter. There was what turned out to be a scandalous episode, I think, where a member of the Conservative Party, or a current member of the Conservative Party who is now a peer, was accused of child abuse, and he was accused of child abuse in a rather underhand way, in that the BBC report effectively said, there is a well-known conservative figure involved in child abuse, and we can't tell you who it is. And at more or less the same time, Sally Berkow tweeted to all of her followers, why is Lord McAlpine trending? Star, innocent face, star. And what Lord McAlpine's lawyers argued was that that tweet effectively, coupled with the BBC story where they said there's a well-known conservative figure who's accused of child abuse, that at least some and maybe the majority of Sally Berkow's Twitter followers would connect those two together and, if you like, decloak Lord McAlpine's anonymity. Now, we should say at this stage that those allegations against Lord McAlpine turned out to be completely without foundation. And, in fact, the BBC has paid £185,000 to Lord McAlpine for his original, for the original allegation and tainting him, if you like, with that smear. In addition, just last week, the BBC revealed, after a Freedom of Information request, that it had paid a further £117,000 in legal fees to McAlpine. And ITV, our main independent terrestrial broadcaster, paid a further £125,000, effectively for jumping on the bandwagon after one of its presenters apparently accidentally flashed a list of alleged paedophiles to camera before handing it over to David Cameron, the Prime Minister, live on air. So it's fair to say that McAlpine is somebody who had already had damages payments from both of the main terrestrial papers. But despite that, Sally Berkow's lawyers decided to contest the proceedings on the basis that the tweet itself was not libelous. And her argument, in a nutshell, seemed to be that innocent face was the sort of jocularity she was known for on Twitter and that nobody would really take it that seriously. A very well-reasoned judgment from the court, who heard this as an interim matter and decided that the tweet could indeed be libelous. what the judge said is that most of Mrs. Burkow's followers were likely to be politically astute people who would have known of this story in the news, may have been scratching round for who the person in question was, and if you like, that tweet, particularly the words innocent face, were the key to unlocking Pandora's box. It's had quite a lot of profile here in the UK, and given that we're now adding Sally Burkow's damages to the, 300,000 or so that Lord McAlpine's already received from the terrestrial broadcasters, it seems clear that it's almost becoming the most expensive, certainly the most expensive tweet libel, I think, in history. Now, we should add also, for the sake of completeness, that Lord McAlpine has generously given many of the damages he's received to charity, and he also reached informal settlements with anybody who had under 500 followers, where he allowed them to make a donation to the Children in Need charity in lieu of proceedings. That offer wasn't open to Mrs. Burkow, although I understand that she did have offers to settle the proceedings at an earlier stage, which she didn't take up. We're likely to find out shortly the level of agreed damages that she's agreed to pay Lord McAlpine. But I don't know if you have any views, Eric. Looks like certainly, given that the judge placed great emphasis on the two words innocent face, there could turn out to be two of the most costly words on Twitter ever, I think.
That's true. And Jonathan, thank you for sharing that, because this matter has not received much press here. And I guess I'll just throw it back to you real quickly and ask you, what do you find as the moral of the story?
I think there are a couple of morals of the story, aren't there? I mean, we've talked about this before, and we've got this online test still at www.bit.ly/nout. You can test yourself, look at your own behaviors. I think that, you know, innocent jokes, if I can put that in between stars, are often not innocent, and people need to be particularly careful. I mean, obviously, in some cases, people simply retweeted that innocent face tweet and have themselves been invited to settle proceedings with Lord McAlpine's lawyers, from what I understand. Anything that you do in haste can be picked over at leisure. I was particularly impressed by the judge, who seems to have understood Twitter and gone through, you know, followers, the different categorizations of followers and that, and what that means, as well as the medium itself. But it's clear that whether they understand Twitter or not, the judges aren't going to allow people to get away with this on the basis that they made a hurried decision, or they were drunk at the time, or it was in the early hours of the morning. I think we are going to be responsible for what we tweet, and those costs, you know, in the social media world, are equivalent to those that terrestrial broadcasters have been picking up for years. And I think Twitter, in that respect, has matured as a broadcasting medium in the UK.
Yeah, and I guess I'll sort of go global on this and point out that, you know, maybe the good news or the bad news is we have to be very mindful of our communications now, always, in all types of contexts. Once upon a time, you and I might just talk to each other in person and our words would disappear off into the ether. Now everything is done so much, you know, by way of electronic media, and, you know, the information is broadcast and saved for, you know, the consumption of others, you know, and this is a whole other subject, but as you and I were talking offline, you know, we have this whole prison thing going on here in the United States. And we've learned that, you know, essentially, you know, all phone records, you know, going through Verizon potentially have gone over to our federal government. So what does that mean about the sanctity of our telephone calls? You know, do we have to, you know, monitor absolutely everything we say in all contexts, knowing that it might come back later to bite us? It's an issue we're all grappling with. And, you know, we tend to tell and advise our clients, you know, don't put anything in electronic form. that you wouldn't want to have show up, for example, on the cover of the newspaper. But is that even practical, with respect to the vast majority of our communications? Can we ever let our hair down at all and speak informally when we know others will see it, either voluntarily or involuntarily, Jonathan?
Yeah.
So it's a big, wide-open topic. I'm sure we'll be talking about it again. Just circling back, though, last week we were discussing, my going from being a Crackberry addict to an iPhone junkie. And, Jonathan, I think you made available the possibility for people to, express, what they're now using. Can you give us the results of your informal survey?
Yes, the results of the jury are in, Eric. Very unscientific, but thanks to those of you who went onto our LinkedIn page and cast your vote. As I say, very unscientific, a very small sample of those of you who listened last week. But 27% of us are now using BlackBerrys. 18% are using other devices. Some particular fans of the of one of the Samsung devices, I think. But nobody admitted, at least online, to using either a Samsung or a Nokia device. The iPhone takes it by a whopping 54%. So twice as many people now using Apple devices as BlackBerrys. So it's amazing how much the Apple devices has caught not only the mainstream attention, but also the attention of lawyers who are suspect as somewhat more tardy in the main device that they use and moving away from the security of BlackBerry. So I thought it was interesting anyway, Eric, and I think your experience of people moving from BlackBerry to iPhone is statistically correct, even if only through a small pool of people.
Gotcha. Well, listen, we've now gone through our Tech Law 10 for this particular podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Jonathan, thank you for sharing with us what's happening on your side of the pond. I'm Eric Sinrod in San Francisco, EJ Sinrod at DwayneMorris.com. As you know, you can find us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. And as usual, Jonathan, thank you ever so much, and bring us home.
Yeah, thanks very much for listening. Obviously, as Eric said, you can follow us on Twitter. You can email us. I'm JP Armstrong at DwayneMorris.com. On LinkedIn, if you just look in the group section, picking Tech Law 10, we'll put the judgment from this case there and a couple of details of the costs involved if you didn't catch that, if you're doing some internal training and want those figures. Thanks very much for listening. We'll speak to you again next week. If you have topics, again, please suggest them for us. Thanks again. Have a great week. Bye now.
Cheers.